Well, I want to ask for your prayers today as I stand before you and try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I'd like to share some scripture from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. I'm going to read about the account of the Lord Jesus healing 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And I will stop my reading there with verse 19. Now, there are many things that can be taken from this, and really there are several sermons that could be preached from these verses that have been read. But I want us to think about today about the fact of this one stranger, this one man that returned. And the Lord Jesus had healed these men of something that certainly in the day and age that they lived in, he had done something for them that nobody else could do. There was no, to the best of my knowledge, there was no medical cure for this. There was no pill that they could take. There was no medicine that they could simply take and be rid of this awful physical plague of leprosy. It took divine intervention. It took divine healing for them to be cleansed of their leprosy. And so this was certainly something that was huge to them. They had found relief for something that no doubt they probably didn't think they would ever find. But the Lord, by his mercy, he healed them of their leprosy. The Bible tells us it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And so the Lord took care of this. And there is a reason, and I believe if we think about the question, why was there only one of them that returned? Now, Jesus asked the question, where are the 9? And certainly there's a big sermon in that, that there's a great thought in that that could be presented. But I believe that we are told in these verses why that it was that one of them did return. And if we look at verse 16, it says that when he did return, when he did turn back, that he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And the reason that this man returned, the reason that he turned back to Jesus, the reason that he turned back and glorified God for what he had done was because he was thankful. He was thankful for what the Lord had given him. And I want to use that today as a basis for my thought, and I want to use that as a title, that those who are thankful will return. And so, obviously, there were 9 of these 10 lepers that Jesus had cleansed, that they went on their way, and they just were not thankful enough for what he had done for them to turn back and to give him praise and to give him glory and to give him honor. They obviously just, their hearts were not thankful enough to prompt them to do that. There was only one that felt enough gratitude and enough appreciation for what the Lord had done to go back and to fall down before him and to offer him thanks for the blessing that had been bestowed upon him. And I want to ask you today to think about this. Why does the Bible, why is it that throughout the scriptures, through the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, that we are admonished so many times to give thanks unto the Lord? I mean, you will find that spoken of again and again and again in the scriptures, that the people of God are to give thanks unto the Lord. The 107th Psalm, I believe it is, says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." But we are, and anybody that has ever studied the scriptures is well aware of that fact, that we are just told time and time and time again that we are to be thankful to the Lord. Well, why should we do that? Well, certainly those of us that know him, as Brother Lindsay testified today, that's the best thing that could happen to anybody. And certainly those of us that know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, we have had something bestowed upon us. We have had the greatest gift that is able to be known by man bestowed upon us. And the Lord has done something for us that nobody else could have done. When we found ourselves lost and in our sins, there was no place else that we could go. There was nobody else that we could go to but the Lord. He was the only one that could give us relief for what we were experiencing in our lost condition. And so certainly that in itself is something that ought to cause us to be very thankful to him, that we have been given something from him that we certainly could not have obtained any other way. But there are byproducts, if that is a proper term. There are things that are produced by thankful hearts. You know, those who will serve the Lord, those who, after being saved, are willing to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord, are those who are thankful for what he has done for them in the first place. And I know that people probably don't like to hear this, but when you see someone who has professed salvation and they just don't seem to have a desire within them to serve the Lord, they just don't seem to have the desire that they ought to have to assemble with God's people. They just don't seem to have a zeal to serve the Lord and to testify for him and to warn others to flee the wrath to come, then I say that they are just not thankful in their hearts for what the Lord has done for them, because I believe that people that are truly thankful, that thankfulness that you have within your heart will produce the heart of a servant. It will cause you to want to serve the Lord. It will cause you to want others to know what you know. And so there are things, and certainly that contributes to the reason why that we ought to be thankful, and we ought to remain thankful for what the Lord has done for us, because there are good things, there are things that thankfulness will produce in us that will cause the Lord to be pleased with us. And certainly God doesn't ever want us to forget what He has done for us. Now, there are times when we help out each other. There are times when we do things one for another. And I'm sure that you all have heard this and probably have done this and said this yourself, that, you know, someone asks you to help them perhaps with a small thing, and they you do that, and they thank you, and they show their appreciation. You say, oh, don't worry about it. Don't mention it. Just forget about it. Don't worry about it. But, you know, listen, the Lord would have us to never forget what He has done for us. In fact, and Brother Mike was mentioning this morning during the Sunday school hour when he was teaching this morning, that the Lord did not want His church to forget what He has done for us, to the extent that He instituted an ordinance. One of the two ordinances that He left for His church was the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, that we might observe, that we may never forget what the Lord did for us. That we may have a constant reminder throughout time of His suffering. When someone does something for you, when you need a favor, when you need help, when you call upon someone and they are willing to help you, do you feel an appreciation in your heart for that? When someone helps you, does it produce within you the desire perhaps that at a future time that you might be able to do something to reciprocate, that you might be given the opportunity to do something to help them in return? You know, if that happens to you, then that's a great sign that you are thankful for what that person has done for you. And that's the way it is, I believe, with serving the Lord. In the 116th Psalm, the psalmist David spoke about, and you've heard this many times, he spoke about a great spiritual conflict that he had within him. He felt the sorrows of death compass him, and the pains of hell got hold upon him. And he turned to the Lord, and he begged the Lord for deliverance, and the Lord delivered him. And if you go read that 116th Psalm, after David speaks about his condemnation, and after he speaks about how the Lord delivered him from that, there was a question that he asked that I believe is really important. And I believe that it shows us just how grateful that he was and how thankful that he was that God had lifted this burden from him and God had taken this pain and this anguish away from his heart. And he asked this question. He said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" You know, we continue to ask God to do things for us. We continue to ask God to help us. There were many requests made here this morning, just like there are from week to week. We just continue and continue and continue to ask of God. And aren't you thankful that God allows that? Aren't you thankful that God's Word has told us that we can take our cares and we can cast them upon Him because He cares for us? But I'm afraid that far too often we don't ask the question that David asked. I'm afraid that far too often we just continue to ask the Lord to do things for us. And we don't ask, "Lord, because of your great blessings that you've given me, what can I render now to you? What can I do for you for all that you have done for me?" Let me tell you something. I believe that in my lifetime, I believe that I have seen many examples of people that the Lord delivered out of great despair. I believe there are probably people right now who are members of this church that are desiring the help of the Lord. But I wonder what they're going to do in return. I wonder what they're going to render to Him for all of His blessings toward them. And, you know, I believe that oftentimes the Lord delivers people. He delivers people from things. Just like we read about here with these 10 lepers, that God delivered all of them. The Lord saved all of them from their leprosy, but obviously only one of them was really thankful. One came back to give thanks to the Lord. There have been people that I've known personally. There have been people that I've seen relatives. I mean, that's how close of an association I had with them. That, you know, God delivered them from something. And you would have thought that they would be thankful. You would have thought that they would, maybe before I go any further, I should say this. I believe that if a person is really thankful, that it's manifested. I believe you'll see things from that person. It'll be more than just words. It'll be more than just something that's spoken in a corner somewhere. If that person is truly thankful to God, you'll see them render service unto Him. You'll see them do things for the Lord. You'll see that person have an attachment to the Lord. If you look in that 116th Psalm, after David asked the question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me?" he mentioned some of the things that he would do. He mentioned that he would take the cup of salvation. He mentioned that he would offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And if you study what he was saying there, what he was really proclaiming was that he would do the things that God had instructed to be done in his law. There was an offering of thanksgiving. There was an offering of vows. And David said that he would do these things. Let's read it. Let's read these things in the 116th Psalm. David said, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He said in verse 13 that he would take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord and pay his vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. He would make a public display of that. He would do things that would be seen. He would follow the things that the Lord had instructed to be done. And you can go back to, I believe, the 7th chapter of Leviticus and perhaps the 22nd chapter of Leviticus, and you can read about these laws and things that were to be done. And David was saying, Lord, because of what you've done for me, at least I can do these things. You know, I'll tell you what he wasn't asking. He wasn't saying, Lord, what is it now that I can do to repay you for what you've done for me? Because we're never going to be able to do that. We're never going to be able to repay the Lord for what he's done for us. But there are things that we can render unto him because of what he has done. Now, if we want to be honest, we can look at people that have dropped out. We can look at those that have just dropped out of the race. We can look at those that don't seem to have any desire to assemble. They just don't seem to have any zeal. They just don't seem to have any desire to do anything for the Lord. And we can look at that and they can make all types of excuses, and we can make all types of excuses for them if we wanted to. But I'm telling you, the truth is they just aren't thankful in their hearts for what God has done for them. If they were, you would see them rendering unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward them. Where did the other 9 go? I don't know. Where have so many gone that have professed salvation? Where have so many gone that have stood in front of a church and made a profession of salvation and testified, God saved me, he changed me, he saved me from my sins. They went into the waters of baptism and they made a public profession of that change that had taken place in them. And they're nowhere to be found in the service of the Lord. They're gone out into the world and all they think about is things that entertain the flesh, and they're nowhere to be found in the service of God. To me, they could say that they're thankful all they want, but I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I believe that thankfulness produces servitude. Oh, we have a lot to be thankful for. Perhaps what we all need when we think about being thankful, you know, I wish that for all of us, I wish all of us as God's people, I wish that when we get into a place where we just don't seem to have that zeal to serve the Lord, where we just don't have that desire that we ought to have as a child of God, what we need to do is just take another look at Calvary. Maybe we just need to take a look at that crown of thorns. Maybe we just need to think about those big spikes that went through his hands and his feet. Maybe we need to think about that rugged cross. Maybe we need to think back about that scourge, that whip that they beat him with. Maybe we need to think about those that spit upon him. Let me ask you something. Do you love the Lord today? Are you thankful to him today? Are you thankful enough to God today to do whatever it is that he would ask of you to do? Do you live in fear that God would ask something of you, that God would move upon your heart by his Spirit for you to do something? Do you love the Lord enough today to testify for him? Do you love him enough today to sing for him? Do you love him enough today to serve him? If people are laughing at you and mocking you for naming the name of Jesus, do you love him enough to speak of him among your worldly friends? Do you love the Lord enough to testify of his grace among those that you're with, where you know that it won't be the most popular thing in the world? Do you love the Lord enough today to serve him if there's great cost in that for you? Do you love the Lord enough today if it causes you to be abused in order to show your love for him? Well, let me tell you this. When Jesus went to the cross for us, he went through all of those things. He went through public humility. He went through scourging. The Son of God allowed himself to be spit on. All for us. He did it all for us. He loved us so much that he suffered all of that in order for us to be able to be saved. Have you asked the Lord what you can do for him? Have you asked the Lord, in view of all that he has blessed you with, Lord, now, what can I do for you? I'm going to say this, that whatever it is, I've mentioned this before, there's a song that I have always appreciated and enjoyed, and it's called After Calvary. And in that song, in the course of that song, it says, I would be anything that you would have me be after what you did for me at Calvary. Anything. Lord, I'd just do anything. In that song, it mentions, I would move across the sea. I would just do anything that you would ask of me. I would be anything that you would have me to be because of the cross, because of what you did for me at Calvary. And so, you know, if we're going to turn the Lord away, when he knocks on our heart for us to do something for him, if we're going to turn the Lord away, we just need to look back to Calvary and see what he did for us that we could be saved. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? If you're thankful, if you are truly thankful for something that someone does for you, you will have a desire in your heart to do something for them. You will. You just will. And if we are truly thankful for what God has done for us, we will have a great desire in our heart to serve Him. It's difficult, it seems. Oftentimes, it's difficult to even get many of God's people to even come and assemble with the church. And that ought to be the very least that we do. That ought to be the very least. Brother Strode, let's have a song. Those are the thoughts that I had to share with you today.